Right now, we're going to go to a message today. It's called The Great Tribulation Period. It's message number 4 in the series, The Last Days According to Jesus Christ. What we're trying to do is stay with what Jesus said. That doesn't mean that what Paul said or Peter said isn't right. Of course it's right. It's the Word of God. I just wanted to try to, let's make an impact on the folks here at Fellowship and those that will be watching by television or listening on radio, just that Jesus believed this was going to happen. He said it was going to happen. There's just something that, about the clout that Jesus carries. Amen? He carries some serious clout. And if He said that there's going to be a period of last days and He would come again and a tribulation period and the battle of Armageddon and all these things that we're going to look at over the next 2 or 3 weeks that left in this series, that it's really going to happen. And so you can have confidence in this thing happening. And it's not to scare you. If you know Christ, you're going to be fine. Amen? You're going to make it. That doesn't mean you're not going to suffer persecution. You're not going to go through some struggle. That's crazy. Jesus said you're going to suffer persecution. It's echoed over and over again in the Bible that we do suffer persecution. And we haven't seen it nowhere like other people are seeing it in the world that we live in right now. But right now, let's go to the message, the Great Tribulation Period. I do want to say one thing before we start. I was going a whole different direction this week with a message. I was going to do the tribulation. I was going to talk to you about a guy that came on the scene that was a form of Antichrist in 165 BC named Antiochus Epiphanes. He's part of history. You can read about him. Did horrible things to the Jews. And he was a precursor, I think, of what the Antichrist will be like. And I was going to talk about what's going to happen in the tribulation period. This is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. But as I was reading the words of Jesus, I got sent in another direction. And you'll see why I got sent another direction in just a little bit. This is not going to be an easy message. It's not so hard a message on you guys. It's a hard message on me to make sense of it. Okay? I probably got you confused already. But I need you to really put your thinking cap on this morning. I need you to make your very best effort to listen and to try to get what I'm saying today. Because if you do, I think it could bless you in an unusual way. So let's go to the message now. The Great Tribulation Period, part of the series, The Last Days According to Jesus. Why were the disciples of Jesus so intent on knowing the future? Here's why. Keep moving good here, Raj. Because they were no different from you and me. They want to know the future because they're no different from you and me. How many in here, if you had a chance to ask Jesus a question, wouldn't maybe one of the questions you ask Him be about the future? Let me see your hand. Yeah, if you could ask Jesus the future. You know, if you had 10 questions you could ask, I think probably something about the future might be one of them. So they're no different from us. That's why they asked this question about the future. When they had their chance, they asked these questions. We've been looking at them. They said, when will the temple be destroyed? Because He said it would be destroyed. We know that's history now. That happened in AD 70 under Titus, the Roman emperor. And then they asked this. They said, what will be the signs of your coming? And then they asked this last question, what will be the signs of the end of the world? And so that's what you see in Jesus' response in Matthew 24 and 25. These questions, this topic right here, covers more territory than any other question that Jesus answered in the entire Bible. Okay, we've said that over and over. Why? I'm trying to drive that point home to you. And I think some of you, by your nods, you're getting it. Here we go. Jesus points to a time of great deception. We've seen that. A time of great distress and a time of great destruction that's coming in the last days. In the parable of the fig tree, we saw that last week. Jesus said, when you see all these things, what things? The signs. We saw 10 signs. We laid them out for you. In a couple of messages. We even put them on the leaves of the fig tree last week. Remember? Say. So when these signs take place, and we're not talking kooky, crazy, it's reality. And quite frankly, we're seeing about every one of these things happen today in our world that we live in. And that's not me being wild-eyed or crazy. I think we could have a legitimate conversation, just talking you and me, and I think by the end of the conversation you would say, yeah, I agree with that. I think that's true, that all these things seem to be happening. Does that mean these are the last days? I don't know. Because no man knows the day nor the hour, right? No man, no angels, not even who? The Son of Man. So you're getting it. But we're to be need to be alert, to pay attention. We're to be watching, remember? And we're to know that we're going to be accountable before Him one day. We're going to give an account to Him. So you need to be wise. So He gives this parable of the fig tree. We told you what we think the parable of the fig tree means. In simple, plain English, it means when you see all these things happening, you'll know the end is near. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say it. He said it, right? So now let's move forward with the message. He followed up, after He said that about the fig tree, He followed up in Matthew 24:35, and He says, heaven and earth shall pass away. It's going to happen. If you think this planet and this world like it is now, it's always going to be, it's not. How do you know that, preacher man? Because God the Son said it wasn't. Amen? It's said over and over and over again that heaven and earth is going to pass away. I don't know when that time's going to be. But Jesus said this, my word shall not pass away. What's He saying? He's saying you can take what I say to the bank. You need to believe what I say. Matter of fact, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. If you're a person who is constantly saying, well, the Bible doesn't mean that. The Bible doesn't say that. That ain't what. That ain't true. I don't believe that's happening. You're not pleasing God. You get to the place in your life where you humble yourself. I'm not saying throw your brain in the trash can. But you need to humble yourself, and you need to start accepting by faith what the Word of God teaches. It changed your life. You'll see yourself grow in a dramatic way that you've never seen before. And you can't please Him without doing that. Let's keep looking. There is coming a time on this earth of great anguish in the future. I don't know when that's going to be. For everyone present on planet earth, and especially for the Jewish people, there is coming a time of great anguish and unbelievable distress and destruction and problems like we've never seen before. It's going to happen in the future, according to the Bible. It is called, here it is, the Great Tribulation Period. The Great Tribulation Period. When you study your Bible and study all of it, you'll understand that the tribulation period on this earth is a period of 7 years. Would you say 7 years with me? 7 years. That's what the Bible teaches. There is coming a time of unprecedented anguish, pain, distress, destruction. Jesus says, such as there has never been or ever will be again. It's called the Great Tribulation Period. And we're going to look at it this morning. And hope that you'll stay with me, because this isn't exactly the easiest of messages. In the Bible, just in case you say, Clark, you're crazy, man, a great tribulation period, stuff like that, dude. Yeah, where's that at? Glad you asked. Here we go. Come on. It is called, not only the tribulation period in the Bible, it's called this, the day of the Lord. This is what it's most often called. And just in case you want to go to our website tomorrow, click on this message on PowerPoint, get out your Bible, look up every one of these verses. Look at it. It's called the day of the Lord. This is what the tribulation period is most often called. Check out all those scriptures. But there's more. It's also called the day of God's vengeance. Isaiah 34:8, 63:1-6. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob being Israel. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. It's called the 70th week, or specifically, it's called Daniel's 70th week because he prophesied of 70 weeks, Daniel 9:24-27. It's called the great day of His wrath, Revelation 6:17. The end of the world, it's called. And who said that? Jesus. That's what He called this period of time. The end of the world as you and I know it. The indignation, Isaiah 26:20, Isaiah 34:2. A time of trouble such as never was. Boy, if I've ever saw anything describe the tribulation very good, it's that one. It's called that right there in Daniel 12:1. And then finally, it's called the tribulation. Guess who called it that? Somebody tell me. Jesus called it that. That's what Jesus called this period of time. This 7-year period of unprecedented anguish on planet Earth. He called it the tribulation period. Let's look at it in those two verses. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. But that's not like a bad day. And the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Sounds pretty rough, doesn't it say? You know what I mean? The tribulation period. Let's talk about the tribulation just a moment. Try not to bore you stiff here, so I hope that you'll hang in here with me, okay? The word tribulation comes from the word tribulum. Big deal. What does that mean? It's described as a tool used to separate the husk from the corn. And quite frankly, Roger found one of these. They're used in Eastern Europe and that part of the world all the time. They're still used today. It's like a sled that you rub over the corn and the husk, and it separates the corn from the husk. The tribulation period on this earth is going to be a time of separating. A separating, saved from lost, sheep from goats. Those that know Christ, those that don't. Those that are going to accept Him as Messiah, those that aren't. It's going to be a time of great separation, great anguish on this planet. That's what the Bible teaches. Keep moving. It'll be a time of separating through great pain and great anguish. The Great Tribulation period. Let's keep looking. Now I'll stop right here for a second. This is where the Lord sent me in another direction. All right? This verse right here. And you'll see why. Here we go. And quite frankly, I almost wish you wouldn't. Because where we're headed ain't easy. It's not easy to explain. Matthew 24:15. Jesus talking. So far, we've been in Matthew 24. We've read and explained and studied through verse 14. Then we went on further in Matthew 24, and we talked about when Jesus would come again. We talked about the parable of the fig tree. We talked about, the thief breaking in at night, if he would have been aware. Remember all that we talked about? That's all in Matthew 24. But we skipped over this part. So we've never said this before, and it's right there in our teaching. We did it on purpose. Look at it. Matthew 24:15. So He's given all these signs. The last sign that He gave, can you remember what it was? The gospel will be what? Preached in all the world. Look at your Bible. If you got your Bible, it's verse 14. The very next verse, He says this. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, say these next few words with me, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. When you see the abomination that Daniel spoke of, when you see this abomination, the Antichrist, called several things in the Bible, this is one of them. When you see him stand in the holy place, then Jesus says this, whoso reads, let him understand. Whoso reads, let him understand. So I'm reading, I'm preparing my message, and I'm going, I need to stop right here. I need to stop right here and look at what he's saying. He said to me, he says to you, when you see this happen, as spoken of by Daniel the prophet, when you see him stand in the holy place, this is going to become a wild time. I believe this is the midpoint of the tribulation period that Jesus is talking about. I think we can prove it from Scripture. He says, read and understand. And that's why I turned. I went another direction. You know what I'm going to do this morning? I'm going to go to Daniel the prophet. And I'm going to see what Daniel the prophet had to say. Y'all with me? Daniel 9 is one of the craziest things in all the Bible. It is. Quite frankly, Daniel is one of the craziest books in the Bible. Think about it with me. You got three Hebrew children thrown in a fiery furnace, but they didn't burn up, right? That's crazy, right? You got Daniel being thrown in the lion's den, right? But the lions got locked out, right? You got King Nebuchadnezzar that is taken from his kingdom for 7 years. He becomes a wild beast, grows hair and feathers, and just crazy. It becomes an insane human being, right? And then you got Daniel 9 through Daniel 12, which is these prophecies on the end of the world. Here's the good thing. It must be true. Jesus said it. Jesus told me to go read it, didn't he? I love the Lord. I love the Lord. The fact that the things I have the most trouble on with the Bible, it seems like he confirmed them for us in the New Testament. He confirmed these crazy things going to happen. That helped me, amen? Because he said it, and I believe in him, and I trust him. Let's go to Daniel and see what he said. Hang in here with me. Let's look this morning at one of the most amazing, most important, most profound prophecies in all the Bible. It's connected back to this end of the world Last days, tribulation. Jesus said, read and understand what the prophet's saying. So we're going to read it and we're going to understand it. And this message is just not typical, like, well, I learned at church today how to do this. I'm not saying you're going to learn today how to do this. Maybe you'll learn today after this message that you can believe your Bible. I think I'd have my time with you well spent. I mean, I didn't tickle yours today. But I think if you leave this joint today, listen to me, and you go, wow, I can trust my Bible, then I believe we would have done a good job. Amen? And that's what happened to me again in my office this week. Look at it. Here we go. It is known as the prophecy of 70 weeks. Can you say that with me? Daniel's prophecy is known as the prophecy of 70 weeks. Now, I know several of you have got Dr. Lindo here in the audience today. He's written books on prophecy. He's in the house today. That's pretty intimidating. Amen? But the fact is, I could ask several of you if you knew what 70 weeks is all about and stand up, and a few of you might be able to talk about it, but by and large, most of you aren't even going to have a clue what we're talking about here. It's tough, but you are going to get it if you'll listen to me. Jesus said read it. Jesus said understand it. Y'all game or no? Say. Let's go then. Here we go. We're going. This is a fun church. I love this. Keep going. The prophecy of 70 weeks. Let's get a little background. Let's get a little background. Daniel was living in Babylon around 550 B.C. Keep moving. He was a former Jewish captive. If you know anything about the book of Daniel, you know he was taken captive and they took him to Jerusalem along with other fine young fellas to be in the king's court and all that kind of stuff. Remember? So we're not going to re-preach the book of Daniel. Now, a lot of times passed and Daniel is reading Jeremiah's prophecy. So a lot of years have passed. He is reading Jeremiah's prophecy, which predicted that after 70 years of captivity, the Jews would be permitted to return to Jerusalem. How do you think that might make somebody feel that's a captive? Say. You think it might make them feel pretty good or what? Well, look at that. Wow, that's why you ought to read the Bible. You ought to read the Bible to find out what's in there for you. You go around discouraged, depressed, down, a lot of you. Listen, you'd be surprised if you find out what God has in store for you. Change your life. It's beautiful. He wrote that book for you, man. There's so much in there for you. And Daniel is reading this prophecy, and all of a sudden he goes, wow. And something happens. Watch. He starts reading. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and with ashes. So he is reading and he starts to praying. Y'all with me so far? He's reading. Wow! This captivity, it's going to come to an end. And he starts praying and he starts fasting and something happened to him. Look at it. Back to the Bible. Verse 19. He's praying, O Lord, hear, O Lord. Forgive, O Lord. Hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin. And this was a great guy, for crying out loud. In case you don't think you need to confess your sin, remember that. If Daniel had to do it, you ought to do it. Amen? Amen? Amen. And he was confessing the sin of his people. Instead of judging folks, why don't you ask the Lord to forgive their sin sometime? You ever thought of doing that? Say, well, so-and-so did this and that, and that's terrible. Amen. Why don't you ask God to forgive them? Say. Boy, wouldn't that make a difference? Say. It'd be nice if Fellowship Church, I'm not saying we rubber stamp ugly lifestyles and lifestyles that aren't right with God, but it'd be nice if this place was known as a place where if you're hurting or if you've been bound up in sin and things like that, there are people at that church that'll pray for you, ask the Lord to forgive you. Amen? Instead of burn you in hell. Oh, hell's going to happen one day, but we ain't there yet. We still got a chance. Get some sins forgiven. Amen? So that's what he did. He prayed for the sins, his own sins and the sins of the people. And he was presenting his supplication before the Lord his God. For the holy mountain of my God, for Jerusalem? He's praying. And while I was speaking, Daniel talking, and I was praying, even the man Gabriel. Somebody tell me who Gabriel is. He is what? Angel. He's the main angel, ain't he? Okay? You hear of him, you hear of Michael. And the man Gabriel. Gabriel seemed to have a talent for blowing a horn, don't he? Amen? And that's interesting that you find it here as well. Whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, he touched me. He touched me, Daniel says, about the time of the evening oblation. I told you, this is crazy. And he informed me, and he talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding. Y'all still with me? Y'all hanging on. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, have we seen the vision yet? Yes or no? No. Can we say no? No. In case you've seen it, if you think we've already seen it, I'm lost already. It ain't happened yet. He is praying, and an angel comes to him and says, I got something to tell you about the future. Now, Jesus told us to go back and look at this, didn't he say? And he confirmed it by saying this is going to happen, didn't he? So let's look at it. So you ready to read and understand? I hope you are. Let's keep looking. The vision. Now, we're going to read this slow. Okay, Charlie? We'll keep it slow. Here we go. 9:24 through 27. 9:24 through 27. Here's the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. I don't know if you just read that. That is a mouthful of stuff going to happen. Keep moving. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, the wall even in troublous times. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Can you say that with me? Messiah shall be cut off. But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of war, desolations are determined. Keep looking. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations. Boy, we saw that's what Jesus said, didn't he? Use that word abomination, desolation. He shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, I do not expect any of you to remember what I just read. Okay? I mean, that's some heavy stuff, ain't it? That ain't John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But just as John 3:16 is Bible, that's Bible, friend. And just because we have a hard time understanding doesn't give us a pass. Jesus said, if you want to know about the last days, if you want to know about the tribulation period, if you want to know about the Antichrist standing in the holy place in the temple at the midpoint of the tribulation, then go read the book of Daniel and understand it. So that's my job this morning. And the clock's ticking. Let's go look at it. Let's look at those verses we just read. Okay? If your neighbor's asleep, pop him. Here we go. Especially if they're related to you. Here we go. 70 weeks are determined. That's the very first thing he said in his vision, the prophecy that he was given. 70 weeks are determined. You're not going to understand this unless you understand this right here. 70 weeks are determined. What is meant by 70 weeks? We're going to see it this morning. 70 weeks are determined. Well, what's meant by 70 weeks? The literal translation is 70 sevens. How long is a week? Somebody tell me. 7 days. So 70 weeks, 70 sevens. Keep looking. Seven of what? 70 weeks or 70 sevens. It's literally translated 77, so 70 sevens of what? What's he talking about? We get a clue. We get a clue back in 9:2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by book, say it with me, the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years. So we get a little clue. 70 sevens. What is sevens? What seven what? 7 years. Seven speaks of 7 years. Can you say that with me? Seven speaks of 7 years. So 77 years. 77s of years. Not 77 years, but 77 years. Periods. Keep looking. It's going to make a little more sense. A week is 7 years. So 70 weeks, that week is 7 years. Keep looking. I know it's tough. You'll make it. Here's an example. I had to take a break right in the middle because I was like, oh, Lord, help me. I had to have some common sense in plain English. Here it is. A century's how long? Somebody tell me. Didn't that feel good? Whoo! I know that. How about this one? I lose some of you on this one. A score is how long? If it wasn't for Abraham Lincoln, we wouldn't even know that, would we? If he hadn't said it, we wouldn't even know that. How about this? A decade is how long? So a week is 7 years. As you call a century, 100 years, as we call a score 20 years, as we call a decade 10 years, we call a 7 year period, at least the Bible's saying, it's 7 years. And what do I mean by that? They didn't have something to call it. They didn't have, what do you call 7 years? What do we call 7 years? 7 years, right? They called it a week. That week meant 7 years. Now you've got to understand that, and there's a reason it means that, because it just wouldn't fly. The prophecy wouldn't make any sense at all if he's just talking about this meant days. It doesn't make any sense. And so you go back to the passage and you understand that this is talking about years, and you compare other scriptures through the Bible, and then it really makes sense. So let's look. When would Daniel's 70 weeks, or when would Daniel's 70 times these 7 years begin? Let's look at it. Here we go. It begins with the command to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now I'm feeling like I'm losing you. She's setting up close. Here we go. When would this period of prophecy that he's prophesying, that he's getting from the angel, when is this 70 times 7 years going to start? It's going to begin with the command to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. This is so important. You're going to be blessed if you hang in here. This event is revealed in Nehemiah chapter 1 as the 20th year of Artaxerxes. The walls of Jerusalem have been torn down prior to this time, and they're going to be rebuilt. The Bible says in this prophecy, many experts, as well as being listed in Encyclopedia Britannica, sets this date as March 14, 445 B.C. That's the beautiful thing about the Bible. It mentions real people. It mentions real leaders that were really ruling at the time. This Bible that you have is not a fairy tale. You shoot yourself in the foot if you're trying to write a fairy tale and you put real people in it. Because people can get their dates checked out, they can go figure it out. But God's not intimidated with your studying. Amen? You go ahead and study. He's not intimidated by you. He puts places, he puts events, he puts names, he puts facts. Go look them up. This guy, you can find him in the encyclopedia, 445 B.C. So there are four distinct time periods in this 70 weeks, or this 70 times 7 years. Let's look at them. The first period mentioned in the Scripture, it was broken down into 7 weeks, or 7 times 7 equals 49 years. Is that making sense to some of you in the building now? Say, 7 weeks. Weeks is how many? It's 7 years. So 7 times 7 equals what? 49. Hang in here with me. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be what? 7 weeks. And we're going to see the 62 weeks in just a little bit. So the first period is 49 years. The rebuilding of the walls and streets of Jerusalem would happen during this 49-year period. This literally took place from 445 to 396 B.C. Now that ought to excite a couple of you. Daniel, 550. Angel, Gabriel. This is going to happen. This city you love, this place that you love, the walls are going to be rebuilt. The city's going to be rebuilt. The streets are going to be rebuilt. It happened from 445 to 396 B.C. Check it out. It's history. If you want to see it in vivid detail in the Bible, you can go to Nehemiah chapter 2 through 6 and you can see it for yourself. What I'm saying, boom, the first part of the prophecy has already been fulfilled. Y'all with me so far? Jesus is the one that told me to go back here. He told all of us to because I'd read it the verse. He said, do it. And that's what I see now. That part is complete. Let's keep looking. The second period is 62 weeks. Now, class, help me. 62 weeks. 62 and a week is what? Thank you. I didn't hear day in the building. Thank you. 62 times 7 equals how many years? 434 years. Don't move, Roger. 434 years. Now, the last date we saw was 396. Is that right? 445, we saw 396. Let's look. After 62 weeks, that's 62 weeks, times 7 equals 434 years, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Let's do the math. What happened? Add it up, Raj. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, was crucified. If you take the math, 434 to 434 years from 396, and you go forward, you end up at AD 30. Somebody tell me in history, you don't know a lot about history back history, do you? But a bunch of you, you know what happened around AD 30, don't you? Somebody tell me. Jesus Christ was what? Was crucified. Daniel has a prophecy, seemingly, where he is saying that Messiah will come and he will be cut off, but not for himself, for the people. And it happened around AD 30. Is that pretty close if you're writing back 550 B.C., yes or no? We can't even predict the weather. It's funny. We're supposed to be global warming, man. We're supposed to have so many hurricanes this year, we can't even see straight. They had to backtrack. I think we ended up getting one this year. And last time I checked, it's snowing in Buffalo and the leaves ain't even off the tree yet. I don't know about all that stuff. All I know is this. If you 550 years before something happens and you say it, even though it's difficult to understand, trust me, that's pretty doggone good. Let's keep looking. There was a British scholar. His name was Sir Robert Anderson. A lot smarter than I am. I'm just doing some quotes for you right now. He reduced the first two periods into their exact number of days. What does that mean? He took the total amount of years, the 7 years and the 62 times whatever equals 434. He takes that total amount of weeks, 69 times 7 years, 483 years, and it comes up to 173,880 days, according to the Jewish calendar. Jewish calendar is 360 days. So he did the math. Well, guess where the math ended up when you do the math? Watch it. Anderson points out that if one begins counting forward from March 14th, 445 B.C., where'd we get that date? Encyclopedia Britannica. That's when this king, Artaxerxes, ruled, etc. This is when this happened. It's specifically laid out. The day runs out April 6, 32 A.D. How old was Jesus when he died? Somebody tell me. 33. The interesting thing is April 6th. Why wasn't it October? Why wasn't it November? Why wasn't it September? It's April 6th, according to this guy. And what's interesting about April? Who knows what happens in April? Somebody tell me. Yes. Passover. 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 And that's when Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, according to the Bible. Is that correct? Yes or no? Sure it is. What I'm saying to you, look, I don't have all the smarts to figure all this out, but I am saying to this, see, I believe the Bible before I ever read this. There's a lot of the Bible I don't understand, okay? But I believe it anyway. I'm the one ignorant. I don't look at the Bible if something I don't understand. I don't blame God for it. I blame me for it, and I ain't the smartest guy in the bunch sometimes, okay? And some things I don't think we know. I don't think we know some things. But I tell you what, when I see something like this, it just really is encouraging. Isn't that good, say, that the walls were rebuilt, that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would be cut off? Was he cut off, yes or no? Was it for himself, yes or no? It was for us. And the Bible teaches that. Beautiful. Let's keep looking. We're not that far away from being done. Whew, it's killing me, though. Let's check out this so far, and then we're finished. Jerusalem's streets and walls would be rebuilt. Check. That happened. How about this one? The Messiah, Jesus Christ, would be cut off, but not for himself. Check. That happened. We've looked at two periods. Let's quickly look at the last two periods. That's the third period and the fourth period. The third period, according to the Scripture, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Say it with me. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. This is talking about the Antichrist. When you compare Scripture with Scripture, during the tribulation period, the Antichrist will come on the scene. We're going to see that in just a little bit. But the first period is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. In the middle of the week, something happens. So let's look at this first part of the tribulation period. Let's look at it. Keep moving. The Antichrist, during the tribulation period, is going to confirm a 7-year covenant with Israel. There's going to be a peace treaty. You know what? A few years ago, I cared about peace a little bit. I mean, I want peace. But I tell you what, this peace thing's been ratcheted up lately, ain't it? What if somebody could come on the scene? What if some leader could come? By the way, I think Kofi Annan's done at the end of this year. As far as I'm concerned, that'll be a good day. That's my personal opinion. Okay? I get to have one just like you do. Amen? But anyway, and you're going to see Tony Blair. He's slipping off the scene. This guy's sort of conservative. You're going to see Bush slipping off the scene in a couple of years. He's conservative as far as towards Israel, it seems, and things like that. This is a period where a lot of things are happening, isn't it? A lot of things are happening. What if somebody came on the scene that could say, this issue in Iraq is settled. Afghanistan, sort of settled. North Korea, settled. Japan, back off, don't do your nukes, settled. Lebanon and Hezbollah and Syria, settled. Israel and Hamas and Gaza and Palestine, settled. China, we hear more about China these days in the news. You not hear that a whole lot now, so you're hearing more and more and more. They actually have a seat at the table of the UN. Haven't you heard? They're not real happy with the recent sanctions against North Korea so much. And then you hear who else? Russia. What if somebody came on the scene and could get a point of way out of all this mess? Do you think people would like him, yes or no? Say. Absolutely. Everybody would. The Bible says the beginning of the tribulation period. The Antichrist, we don't know who that is, will confirm a 7-year covenant with Israel. There will be a peace treaty. There will be peace finally. Hallelujah. Amen. Seemingly. That's what happens. Keep looking. The temple's going to be rebuilt. If you've never been to Israel, the Temple Mount is controlled totally by the Muslims. You can't get up there without their approval. I've been there many times. The Mosque of Omar, the Dome of the Rock is there. We've been in it many times with their permission. The actual where the temple was, now they're praying to Allah and Muhammad and things like that. The very temple. Guess what? There's going to be a temple that's going to be rebuilt right there. Somebody's going to have to make that happen, aren't they? Say. I don't think they're going to lay down and let that happen. Perhaps it will serve this temple as the center of religious control. Just stay with me. Apparently, the Antichrist will be hailed by Israel as her Messiah. Think about it. Peace, man. Peace, finally. And by the way, is Israel in the land in belief today? No, they're there in unbelief. If you check it out, most Jews, not putting them down, it's just reality, they don't really have a, most of them don't have a strong religious faith. I tell you what, if somebody came along and could make peace out of this situation where they could live and stop being bombed by people, they'd fall for hook, line, and sinker, guaranteed. Muslims will view the Antichrist perhaps as their long-awaited Maitreya or their Messiah. And then look, even Christians who are here at that time will think he's Christ. I'm surprised at things that Christians fall for today anyway. But it's something like this, peace happening, peace in the Middle East. The temple's rebuilt. They're offering sacrifices. This will happen in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. All the world's religions will be united under this one leader. What did Jesus say? When therefore you shall see the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist spoken of by Daniel the prophet, when you see him stand in the holy place, you read and you understand. That's what I've been trying to do this morning. It's been tough. That happens in the first 3.5 years. But then at that 3.5 year period, we're almost done. Hang in with me. At that 3.5 year period of the tribulation period, he's not the nice guy he was. The peace is not a real peace. We saw that last week with the first horse of the apocalypse. He conquers and goes forth to conquer. Doesn't use a sword, but he conquers with diplomacy. And he does that. But guess what? This is the last half of the tribulation, the fourth period, the 3.5 years. He comes in, breaks the peace treaty. It'll be broken. Keep moving. The abomination of desolations were going to take place on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. 9:27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the middle of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He will break it. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Let's look at another verse from Daniel 12:11. And from that time, the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, the abomination that makes desolate set up. There shall be 1,290 days. It's going to happen in the middle of the tribulation, somewhere at that point. I'm almost done. We're to the end. Thank God. Amen. This is worse than any Holocaust story ever in the past that's going to break loose at the midpoint of the tribulation period. The great tribulation period, when it takes place and that peace treaty is broke, all hell's going to break loose on this earth, the Bible says, like we've never seen before. Keep looking. Listen to how Jesus describes it. We're done with this scripture. I didn't get into all the things of the tribulation this morning on purpose. I wanted to go back because Jesus told us to. He said this was going to happen. The abomination of desolations is going to take place. He said, if you want to understand it a little more, go back to Daniel. I tried to go back to Daniel and show you what Daniel saw. He's good for the walls. He's good for Jesus coming because he did. I believe he's good for this final part of that prophecy being fulfilled. One might ask, the two dates, the 49 years and the 62 weeks, all that ran together. Why is there this gap of 2,000 years? What would be a good answer to that question? Why do you think there's been a gap of 2,000 years when Messiah was cut off to the tribulation period and Jesus coming in? Why do you think there's been that gap? Somebody say it. So the church could be built. So that people could be saved. Jesus didn't come down the cross for nothing, did he? And that's what's been happening. And he said the last sign would be the preaching of the gospel around the world. And that's why I think we need to live like Jesus could come at any moment. I really believe that. I believe when I look around, these things could be taking place. I know that people would love to have peace today in our world, wouldn't they? It seems to be getting out of control, doesn't it, a little bit? Say, I don't know, but it seems like it. What did Jesus say the tribulation would be like? Here's what it's going to be like. We just read verse 15. Let's go with verse 16. Here's what he said. Listen to me. The tribulation period. The last half of the trib. Let them that be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop, don't come down to take anything out of your house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to get his clothes. Woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. God help the children. And pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be what? great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days are shortened. In the book of Revelation, when you look at the tribulation period, when you see the things and events that's taking place, about half of the population during that time will be killed. And that's why Jesus said, if this time wasn't shortened, there would be nobody left on the planet. It's going to be a horrible time of death. If any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there is Christ, he says, don't believe it. It ain't me. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christ, false prophets. They shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they could deceive the very elect. Don't believe them. Behold, I told you before, Jesus said. Verse 26, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert. Don't go there. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. Don't believe him. It ain't me. It's the tribulation period. It's the Antichrist. It's that time of the false Christ. And then Jesus gives these encouraging words. Watch it. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This is when he comes back. He's going to defeat the Antichrist. The battle of Armageddon is going to take place before the millennial reign of Christ. Verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there the eagles be gathered together. A lot of people wondered, what does that verse mean? Eagles are birds of prey, like vultures. And there's going to be so much death. You're going to just look around and see eagles everywhere because of the death and the carnage that's going to take place during that time. Horrible time. I don't enjoy talking about it. That's what Jesus said. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Heavy message this morning, right? Wow, Lord help us, I need lunch, you know. I agree with you. The tribulation period. Jesus said it's going to happen. He said the abomination of desolations will occur in the middle. We talked about it this morning. He said go back and look in Daniel and read and understand. We tried to do a little bit of that this morning. And what I got out of this message today was that you can really trust your Bible. I don't like talking about stuff like this, but guess what? It's Bible. And guess what? He's good for it. And I'm a Christian. I personally believe, not everybody believes like me, I personally believe Jesus could come at any moment and take me out of here. It's called the rapture. Amen? And that's going to happen, hopefully, before the tribulation. I will say there are some that believe the rapture takes place in the middle of the tribulation before it gets really bad, like we read on the screen. But the bottom line, if you're a believer, you're going to be with the Lord. You're going to know the Lord. That's the question. Do you know Jesus today? Say. If you don't, you're going to go through that. Oh, you're scaring me, preacher. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say it. Okay? If it's left up to me, I'd give you everything. It ain't going to fly that way.